Want to try a free sample?
Oh, yeah, I do. Wait, time to consult the online experts.
You only eat after you're walking 10,000 steps.
Stop it!
They don't know your body. Only you do. Signos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. Get $10 off select plans at Signos.com. Signos.com with code SPARK. Signos.
Skyline's new chicken chili is here. Now you can enjoy that legendary Skyline taste with a new protein option. Try Skyline's chicken chili on Waze, Coney's, and all your Skyline favorites. Feeling good. It's Skyline time.
One minute, you're at top of the game, achieving fame and success beyond your wildest dreams. The next, everyone's mocking your attempts to keep your career on track as you become a walking meme. This is the problem that a rapper named YBN Namir faces. Even though he's only 23 years old, he's been put through the ringer in this game to the point that he's considered throwing in the towel and even relied on substance abuse to cope with his traumatic time in the industry. But how did he get here, and is there any way back? And today we're looking at the self-destruction of YBN Namir. But before we can analyze how things went so wrong, we need to first take a look at when he had the world in his hands. Back in 2017, YBN Namir exploded onto the scene with a song called Rubbing Off the Paint. If you remember those days, you'll know that this was one of the biggest underground smashes of the year and still has people flocking back to it for a nostalgia hit to this day. I won't never change, rubbing off the paint, smoking dang. But rather than just being a hit song, the track was the world's introduction to a new rap crew that looked to be making major moves. The group was YBN, and where rap collectives are formed through friendship or growing up in the same hood, this group was forged on the mean streets of GTA's Los Santos.
Shit, I had Grand Theft Auto 3 when I was 3. I don't know, I got an Xbox 360 and I just started meeting up with people, and shit, we made YBN.
Soon, YBN was formed, with the addition of Texas rapper Almighty J becoming the next important piece to the puzzle. Interestingly, these two didn't get along at first and spent months dissing each other through their headsets, only for Namir to end up dragging Jay back from the brink of a life-altering decision.
Like, I always talked to them over the game and then I started fucking with them on the computer. So it was just like, after that, I blew up. Then I was like, damn, I know Jay. I ain't talked to Jay in like a year. Let me talk to this nigga. He hit me up. He see me blowing up and shit. Holla at Jay. I'm like, fool. What's up? What you finna do? He like, nigga, my mom finna send me to the army, nigga. I'm finna go to the military. I'm like, what? I'm like, oh, hell no. F*** that. Come to Alabama. So he just leave without his mom's permission.
Looking back at where the relationship would go, it's crazy to think that it was Namir who actually guided Jay towards entering the rap game officially. But maybe that little bit of animosity should have been a warning sign for things to come. Ran by Namir and his friend Glizzy, with a whole host of other rappers and creatives under their umbrella, Namir kept making moves, even landing a coveted Lyrical Lemonade video co-sign with Bounce Out With That in January of 2018. By summer, he'd secure a place in the XXL freshman class, and back then, everybody wanted a piece of him.
Since I came out with Rubbing Off the Paint, you know, there's been other artists that's like been co-signing me and helping me out, you know, like Bryson Tiller, he made a remix to my song. Drake, he shouted me out on his Instagram. Chris Brown, he posted my video like right when it came out.
Adding to the momentum of their crew was their newest addition, Cordae. However, this would be the first mistake that Namir made in his rise to the top. After hearing a track from Cordae, then known as Entendre, and his brother Simba, Namir agreed to meet up with him in LA, and soon, he joined the YBN crew. But over time, the platform provided by Namir would go on to help Cordae to achieve Grammy nominations, co-signs from Dr. Dre, and features with Eminem, Anderson .Paak, and Pusha T. At one point, Bro was even named the next J. Cole, and some people even thought he was better than him. But back then, he was just another rapper in the shadow of Namir. Around the time that Cordae came aboard, this is when Namir started to lose control of the narrative surrounding his music and the content of his bars. Besides Cordae being seen as the better rapper, Namir encountered another problem, which was the fact that he was seemingly a fake gangster. If you've ever heard one of his classic tracks or heard one of his music videos, you'll know that Namir leaned into the role of a gangster rapper. The only problem was that in interviews, Namir made it known that he was a pretty hardcore gamer as a kid, not a gangbanger. And even as his fame increased, he didn't really steer away from the hours he'd spent running around the virtual trap.
Nigga, you're not trying to see me in GTA 5. All that shit, assault rifles only, all that shit, free aim, bitch.
Parma says it seemed at the time this would be the first inkling of a weakness that he showed to the world. And once they had it, they ran with it. Particularly when he tried to retell his own life history as if he made it from the trenches.
I'm from Birmingham, Alabama. It's hot. Like, you know, so I had to get up out of there. I'm in LA with it right now. I only hang with people that's like older than me. I was out there, but I was cool. Like, you feel me? I was smooth. I know a bunch of niggas that done died. Know a bunch of niggas that's in jail. I'm talking about life sentences in jail. But it was really smooth. Like, I ain't really had to worry about shit because I know my nigga had me and, like, nigga wouldn't fuck.
This came off as inauthentic to his audience, and it would become one of the main reasons Demir started getting clowned on the internet. Users joked by writing, "Low-key, I met his homie that was serving life. We busted him out the plane from a prison. Shit was crazy. Hey, Demir, ain't it a blessing we made it out all those GTA missions? From gamer to fake gangster." He probably didn't know this at the time, but unfortunately, this represented a sign of the trolling and hate to come. As Corday continued to rise with every new track he dropped, and became the group's real breakout star when his debut album The Lost Boy became both a critical and commercial smash, both Demir and Almighty J were left floundering. By this point, Almighty J was best known for his short-lived relationship with Blac Chyna, while for Demir, he was getting to the end of his rope with the rap game. However, he did give fans some hope of a brighter future when his track Oppa Stoppa with 21 Savage became one of the original viral TikTok tracks, going number one on the platform. Afterwards, he basically thanked 21 for giving his career a second wind in a time where he couldn't do it single-handedly and finally had some major turbulence come his way. For starters, he saw this album receive persistent delays, meaning that every 3 years after his initial buzz, fans were still starved of a debut album. In a fast-moving world like hip-hop, that might as well be a lifetime, and some fans already checked out before it could drop. In the meantime, one of the rappers from his collective was making big enough waves to secure a feature alongside Jack Harlow on Eminem's song Killer, and soon, what once seemed like a budding empire would soon crumble before his eyes. In August of 2020, Demir would hit send on a tweet that would rock the hip-hop world and forever change his life. He wrote, "They left this YBN sh** in the gutter. Remember that. I'll turn it up myself." Clarifying to a fan that it's only me, kid, Demir suggested that his YBN brothers had abandoned the ship. But over time, he'd grow to regret how he handled it.
It'd be hella sh** in the background. But at the end of the day, we all brothers. We all gonna say something that's gonna f*** up the image of this sh**. We all gonna f*** around and do something that's gonna f*** up the image of this sh**. It's always gonna be something with a group. And I fucked up by saying that shit too. I know that hurt their feelings by saying that. You never know. They could lash out on me. They lashed out on me before. I lashed out on them before. So it's like, it is what it is.
Left looking like the villain when in reality he was just hurt, Demir felt like he'd been shortchanged by the industry. It seemed to him that the industry had taken advantage of their youthful inexperience when they inked their first contract, which ended up causing a split within their group.
The old niggas in the background, you gotta remember, it's always somebody that'll come around. Fill your head up and f*** it over.
Struggling to get himself back on track, Demir's issues would only continue to get worse when the internet just kept piling on him for everything he did. On October 2nd of 2020, for example, a YouTuber by the name of Hello Yassin posted a screenshot that claimed, "YBN Demir is really struggling." After his Instagram account had shared what was clearly paid promo for an online marketing agency, in a way that a lot of people saw as defensive, Demir instantly clapped back, declaring, "This is how dumb this generation is. Who wouldn't make a simple Instagram post for $5,000? I guess I'm broke, guys. Stay blessed, child." And this kind of scrutiny isn't exactly new. Back in 2018, he asked his followers why people hated him so much. But by this point, it was clear that it was really starting to get to him. He literally had to sit across a table from Adam22 as he said that he had watched his entire career from beginning to end, to the horror and amusement of the internet.
"Today, I'm in here with somebody who I've seen their entire career from beginning to end, and or not end, but from the beginning." And you know, is
deflated by what had happened, he once again decided to wave the white flag and let the haters potentially chase him out of the game. "After my album, I really just want to be done. Tired of the fake dudes, fake streams, weak-ass conflict of interest, everything. I'ma give you all the best music ever, then I'm gone." In hindsight, there's a chance that YBN Demir maybe regrets that he didn't do just that, as even as—
"Want to try a free sample?"
"Oh yeah, I do. Wait, time to consult the online experts."
"You only eat after you're walking 10,000 steps.
Stop it. They don't know your body. Only you do. Cygnos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. Get $10 off select plans at Cygnos.com. Cygnos.com with code SPARK. Cygnos.
He tried to retire. He got ratioed and trolled by people posting pics of GTA claiming that this was his hood. It was times like these where he basically became an internet laughing stock, and fans would say anything to provoke another embarrassing response out of him. However, there was light at the end of the tunnel for Namir. At 20 years old, Namir had assets and money in the bank that he really could have done anything else with his life. Armed with a unique audience in the hip-hop sphere, with his background in gaming, Namir started a Twitch channel. Initially, his numbers were promising, showing potential for success in this new venture. Instead of running from his youth spent mastering gang warfare in GTA, he could have embraced it and, more importantly, profited from it. Basically, he could have walked away into the sunset and left hip-hop behind while still making a bag if he was willing to put the hours into becoming a top streamer. But instead, he stuck it out. And amazingly, things managed to get worse when he finally released his debut album.
Supposed to be coming.
Yep, 2021.
Their name?
Visionland.
Why is that name?
It's my whole life.
For long years after his come up, Namir was finally ready to release his long-awaited debut album. So long-awaited that by the time it dropped, most people hadn't been regularly bumping him for at least 12 months, if not more. Sadly for YBN Namir, this meant that before he even dropped the project, people were already declaring it dead on arrival. One user posted on Reddit saying, YBN Namir first week sales predictions, he finna go triple aluminum. With expectations like that and audience anticipation at an all-time low, it's no surprise that when the project did drop in March of 2021, it led to sales of just 4K. For comparison, Smoke Perp, who's widely deemed as a rapper with one of the most intense downfalls in hip-hop history, got absolutely destroyed by the internet when he sold 5K first week. So for Namir, this must have been a crushing blow. Back when YBN were at the peak of their powers, their first mixtape peaked at number 21, eventually being certified gold in the US with over 500,000 sales. Now, he couldn't even get into five figures with a studio project that had him as the headlining artist. With this record flopping and refusing to chart, this should have been the lowest moment of his career. But somehow, things were about to get even worse, as the internet began to get merciless with YBN Namir upon hearing the news. One user wrote, "I can outsell YBN Namir with this tweet." YBN Namir got some awful friends, everybody in the studio just letting him make Soul Train. This last tweet is referencing one of the worst tracks off the album. And soon, it becomes so notorious that it would actually become the best performing track on the whole record by a mile.
If I gave you all my love,
I say, would that make you happy, baby?
Would that make you happy?
It don't feel like I'm doing.
What you've just had the misfortune of hearing is Soul Train. With over 6.4 million views on YouTube, it's technically the most viewed track he's had since Oppa Stoppa with 21 Savage, and there's no signs of it losing that status anytime soon. But with that amount of exposure also came a near historic like to dislike ratio, not to mention a whole host of hilariously harsh reactions.
Oh hell no, bro, I'm scared to put my headphones back on, bro, I hear the trash without hearing the trash. Why is this nigga talking like that? Bro, it sound like somebody pulling your nuts.
This song is nothing short of a miracle. A friend of mine heard this song and was able to get out of his wheelchair to walk out the room. Other songs, such as Wake Up, received similar treatment, although not to this extent. Initially, Namir tried to take it in stride and promised to regroup and bring back the sound of the old days. It took a lot for Visionland to come out. I'm back on that old YBN shit, though. Watch how I make the world shut the fuck up. But it's safe to say that after Soul Train, the damage was done. Because when people already expected it to be awful, all it took was the news that it housed a track as downright terrible as that for them to join and pile on.
I don't think Namir dropped the worst project this year, but if you look online, that's what people are trying to say. But what contributes to people doing that is just like the Soul Train joint. Every time somebody points out that it's getting crazy dislikes, it gets 20,000 more. Because on the internet, people follow the narrative.
And the internet did follow. Hell, even some of his fellow artists did, most notably Lil Yachty, who said, "Soul Train is fire." He then followed this up later saying, "Shaking my head, sorry, I couldn't even let that tweet breathe," and then proceeded to show a calendar, referencing the fact that it was April Fool's Day. Lil Boat wasn't even done yet. After Namir tried to take control of the meme cycle by calling it the best song of 2021, Yachty was quick to remind him that it wasn't getting views for the right reasons. No cap, bro, shit might have the most dislikes of the year. As if things couldn't get any harder to deal with, even one of his former YBN brothers, Almighty J, came in to kick him when he was down.
I mean, that's my man. I'm gonna keep it 100, bro. That shit ass, bro.
Trolled into submission, the very same day that Lil Boat hit him with the reality check, he announced that he'd be stepping back. I'm gonna take a cool little break from everything and everybody. At this point, it seemed like Namir was really struggling to stay afloat. After spending years as the internet's punching bag, something changed inside him and altered the way that he carried himself. Soon, we'd stop seeing the Namir that was more angry, unstable, and vengeful. And over time, the reasons behind a lot of his erratic behavior and embarrassing conduct would finally come into focus. So as I discussed earlier, YBN Namir was never taken seriously as a gangster rapper. As he's revealed in interviews, the most thuggish thing that's ever really happened in his life was when the guns being waved in the music video for Rubbing Off the Pain led him to have to finish his classes at high school online. After the release of Visionland, Namir made a noticeable shift to harden his public persona. However, controversy arose when he was accused of false flagging or falsely claiming gang affiliations. This came to a head when he declared on Instagram that he was repping Crips, despite previously showing ties to GD, a group that's heavily associated with the Bloods, which led to a lot of backlash. After he tried explaining the transition in an Instagram Live.
Like how you went from GD to Crip.
How I went from GD to Crip? It happened.
Bro, what the fuck?
And within weeks of that tough talk getting underway, he found himself in another beef, this time with none other than Almighty J. It started with J trying to capitalize on the celebrity boxing wave by claiming he wanted to fight Namir, with Namir responding by saying,
"So when y'all see Cud hurt with all them black eyes, nigga ain't hit him with no bottle this time.
Tell nigga drop a location in Houston, we gonna pop out.
What? We gonna get it done right here."
To which J claimed that he was once again trying to portray a fake image.
"You don't pop nigga. You went live and said you whoop nigga. You don't whoop nigga. You went live and said, nigga know how you get down."
Although this just seemed like a surefire way to up their relevance after both of their albums flopped, Namir was soon telling everyone that he was going to get active on Jay. Once again, the rest of the world simply wasn't buying it, with Namir suddenly talking like he had the body count of King Von and making Jay, who's younger than him, seem like the mature one. Even people like Academics that had previously tried to shoot him some bail now had no choice but to come down on him.
I'm gonna be honest, Namir, you look horrible here. You look horrible here. You look like someone who's self-destructing and spiraling when it looks like you're lashing out on somebody.
At some point, it got so bad that Namir was basically a parody of himself, repping cities he wasn't even originally from while arguing with trolls via voice notes.
"You're from Fort Worth, bro. Let's be honest, nigga. I'm from North Long Beach. Like, nigga, do you filthy, like, really, really beat your... Nigga, all that little lifting weights and all that is out. Like, that do not matter. Hey, bro, and it shoots you in your face right after, cuz, like, come to Fort Worth and beat your ass and shoot your mama house up, dude. Be honest with yourself."
Hearing Namir tell someone else to be honest with themselves seems very hypocritical by now, because the more and more he tried to perpetuate this gangster image, the more he got clowned by anyone with actual street credentials. With someone even claiming that Namir is Slim Jesus, minus the admitting everything's a gimmick part. Without any real context, Namir's behavior just seemed straight up bizarre. In a matter of 4 years, he went from a rapper who had a unique flow and sound that looked like it might have some real longevity to it, to just another MC who'd let the industry and the pressures of living up to an image essentially destroy them. In the process, he left fans going back to his old hits and wondering just where it could have all gone wrong. 2017, Rubbing Off the Pain. 2021, Rubbing Off the Potential. But soon, Namir would make an admission to the world that made his years of erratic antics seem a little easier to understand. In 2022, Namir opened up about his struggles with alcoholism, detailing how he'd been struggling for 3 years and how it's changed him to the point that he'd lost so many loved ones. After he got it out of his system, it seemed like Namir managed to get on something close to a positive track again. Suddenly, all the bravado was gone and a more humble, honest version of the rapper reemerged in interviews. He even acknowledged that everything he had been through online had gotten to him.
I'm not the type of person to just, oh yeah, I'm not gonna check my YouTube comments or Instagram. I'll check all that shit. And I'm like, damn, I'm really saying this. I was just on my motherfucking side. I'll be like, damn, I'll be feeling hurt in the motherfucking house.
They switch but up
it's,
real
just,
quick,
it's just how life go. Like, it's just how this shit go. Like, it's not your fault, but you just
right
being
back.
You. And then they can come right back. That's why you, that's the part of maintaining and keeping your goal structure.
That same year, he was reminded that even if hip-hop's online world had pretty much written him off, the industry actually hadn't. To the surprise of everyone, Namir inked a new deal with Def Jam, becoming the first person since 2006 to make the jump across the aisle after being on the Atlantic roster. Since then, he's been steadily dropping music, even catching the audience's attention with tracks like Bose, sounding like a throwback to the days he was hungry and giving fans hope for the future. If he keeps going with this flow, he might come back. But addiction doesn't often give him that easy, and he's recently revealed that he's heading back to rehab, this time to hopefully get the demons off him once and for all. Rehab soon, he tweeted recently. Understanding your addiction and admitting to it is the first step. Pray for me on this hard journey. I'm not out here doing hardcore drugs, he continued. I'm addicted to alcohol. I just need a little help, that's all. I pop perks here and there, smoke some weed, normal shit, but I do feel my body failing. I gotta be here for the people that are here for me in the long run. I want to be sober. Since then, those tweets have disappeared, and after being clowned on the internet so many times, it's easy to see why Namir thought twice about this moment of vulnerability.